And isn't it good to know he led the way? He's not asking us to go through anything he didn't go through. And that cross is what keeps us going. That cross is what keeps us standing. That cross is what keeps us fighting in the spiritual realm. Take your Bibles, turn to John chapter 6. I told the folks Wednesday night, I calculated out how much I've been preaching the last few weeks. I'll be done with this series in John when I'm 116 years old. Forgive the cough. Seemed like one step forward, two steps back, but we put no confidence in the flesh. Amen? I'd rather have preaching with a cough than no preaching. And I'm not saying I'm hot, but I'd rather have hot preaching with a cough than watered down preaching with no cough. Amen. So Lord, help us today. I'm very fired up. I'm fired up that this message would encourage you as much as it's encouraged me this week. I better pray before we start. Father, thank you for your word one more time. Thank you for the worship this morning. Seem like your folks are with it today. And Lord, what a truth, what a phenomenal truth that you'll give us here this morning to put one step in front of the other tomorrow in this wicked, dark, awful, sinful, wretched, sin-sick sewer of a world that we live in. Bless your word now. We'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. John chapter 6, verse, you know that we're talking about the fragments here. You've been with us. They gather up the fragments. Verse 13, nothing be lost. And over and above in verse 14, then those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, said, this is of a truth that prophet that should come into the world. Now Jesus gets to read in their mind. You know he could read your mind? Isn't that an awful thought? When Jesus therefore perceived, but in the spiritual realm, if you're saved, he sees the mind of Christ. Aren't you glad about that? Aren't you glad for a substitution? When Jesus therefore perceived that they would come and take him by force to make him a king, he departed again into a mountain himself alone. We're going to have a little doctrinal Bible study today, and then we're going to make a quick application to our lives. It says in verse 14, those men wanted to take him by force, not to crucify him, the opposite, to make him a king. Now listen, these are not religious leaders, obviously. The religious leaders were the ones that wanted to take him by force and crucify him. And he didn't want that. Why not? He didn't want to lead a revolt. He didn't want to reign on a king as a king on a throne until he reigned as king in the hearts of men. That's why he said no. God's order in his long-term plan was first to save souls by dying for sinners, then one day rule on a throne. But those religious people back then, those followers, those people looking for a miracle, they wanted a literal, physical, visible kingdom now. Trouble is, there's three kingdoms. And they're looking for the wrong kingdom at the wrong time. Go to Acts chapter 1. We're going to learn about those three kingdoms today. Acts chapter 1. Let's see the mistakes that they made, and hopefully we won't make them. You know the triune Godhead works by threes all through the Bible. No surprise that there's three kingdoms. Acts chapter 1, verse 5. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, watch. Wilt thou, say the next three words, at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And watch his answer. And he said to them, it's not for you to know the times and the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power, but We're going a different direction right now. Are you going to restore again the kingdom? At this time, it's not for you to know that. You don't know those things, but ye shall receive power. We're talking going a different direction after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me. Not a Jehovah witness, a Jesus witness. Acts 1:8. We're not going to do that at this time. And they knew from that Old Testament there was a promise of a coming Messiah that was going to rule and reign. They just hadn't studied it real good. They didn't get the timing down real good. They didn't see the cross on the road to that kingdom. They certainly didn't see the church age because it was a mystery in the Old Testament. They certainly didn't see that the nation of Israel would be put on hold to give God some time to reach the rest of the world, not to bring in the kingdom. Listen, saints don't bring in the kingdom. The Savior brings in the kingdom. That's the kingdom they were looking for in Acts chapter 1. That's the kingdom they were looking for in John chapter 6. Wilt thou at this time restore? Now, have you been to Israel lately? Well, if you haven't, I got a tip for you. It has not been restored. The kingdom has not been restored. But that's what they expected. That's what they wanted. And they said, let's take him by force and make him to be king. Let's study the three kingdoms this morning. Kingdom, a king's domain. Kingdom, Luke chapter 1. We'll start there. Let's see what they were looking for. What do you mean make us a king? What do you mean force him to be in a king? What do you mean wilt thou restore again the kingdom? What were they looking for? When they said so, that's why you have to rightly divide the word of truth. If you don't have a Bible that says to study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that need not be ashamed, rightly dividing, not rightly showing, not rightly sampling, rightly dividing the word of truth, you're going to get all messed up. You're going to be trying to get to heaven by being a peacemaker. You've got to get that church age separated out from the time of the writing of the Gospels, because I know your Bible from Malachi to Matthew says the New Testament, but there is no testament without the death of the testator. So, Luke chapter 1, what is salvation to them? What is Savior to them that time? Watch. Verse 67 of Luke chapter 1. And his father Zacharias was filled with the Holy Ghost. That'll mess up your doctrine. You mean before the Holy Ghost was given? We won't get into that. And prophesied, saying, blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he had visited his people. And look at, redeemed his people. Did he save any souls yet? He's just a baby. And hath raised up an horn of, say it, salvation, you're with me, for us in the house of his servant David, as he spake by the mouth of his holy prophets, which hath been since the world began, that we should be, say it. Those are terms we use. Look, from our enemies and from the hand of all that hate us. That's not what you're saved from. They're looking for a literal, physical, visible kingdom where they are calling the shots like they did in Solomon's day, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant, the oath which he swore to our father Abraham. What? What is that oath? That he would grant unto us that we being would go to heaven. No, it doesn't say that. Delivered out of the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear. Kingdom number one, the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven. Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. Let's make him a king. Matthew chapter 6, verse 8. Be ye not therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Say the next three words. Thy kingdom come. Which kingdom is that? The next sentence is going to explain what it is. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. The kingdom of heaven is a literal, physical, visible kingdom where the rule from heaven is on earth. The kingdom of heaven is the rule of heaven on earth. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. A literal, physical, visible kingdom with King Jesus on a throne, ruling in righteousness with a rod of iron. That's what they were looking for in John chapter 6. That's what they were looking for in Acts chapter 1. And he said, we got to do a little detour first. We got to go down a different road first. So the king of the kingdom of heaven, his predecessor, John the Baptist, would say, repent. You don't hear that too much anymore. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. How could you say that, John? Because the king's walking down the street. It's right here. Those Jews, they didn't see that cross on the road to the kingdom of heaven. They didn't see that delay, which was a mystery in the Old Testament. But we see it now. One day, hopefully soon, a king is coming with a kingdom. And every eye is going to see it, and all the world will know, because the king, that good man, is on a journey, and he's getting a kingdom from his father, and he's going to bring it to this earth one day. Listen, I don't want to burst your bubble, but the best form of government, please don't shoot me. Just let me get a few more years in. Give me my pay, and I'll be on my way, and you can get Joel Osteen or somebody like that. Listen, it's not a democracy. It's not a constitutional republic. It's not a democratic republic. Listen, these forms of government will only work with a self-governed moral people. I got thinking, Dylan, we were taught Laodicea. That's the final church in the church age, the Laodicean church. No good, I spew you out, you're no good. You're not hot, you're not cold, you're just... And that word Laodicea means the rights of the people. And that's what we're living in now. I got my rights. Don't even get me started, please. I'm preaching against the way I'm feeling right now. I got thinking, Dylan, they should have named it the wrongs of the people, not the rights of the people. The best form of government is certainly not socialism and communism. Although the socialists and communists might agree. I mean, we insist on spreading democracy. In fact, there's a lot of them people, they don't want no democracy. We won't get into that. The best form of government is theocracy. Theo, God, crassy, rule. God, rule. Total, listen, authoritarian rule by a perfect, sinless, righteous, just king who happens to be God, and his name is Jesus Christ. Ruling with a rod of iron. How's that for woke? All by himself. The kingdom of heaven is the rule of heaven on earth. And so in John 6, they knew that. They say, this is the one. We'll force him to be king. We'll get these stinking Romans off our back. He'll deliver us from our enemies. We'll get the glory back like we had in Solomon's day, with a literal, visible, physical kingdom with the glory of heaven. There's only trouble with that. Another kingdom had to be established first. And it's not a literal, physical, visible kingdom that comes with observation. It is a spiritual, unseen kingdom where Jesus reigns on a throne in the hearts of men, women, boys, and girls. Does he reign in yours? Or are you calling, you want to be your own king? Good luck. Luke 17, kingdom of God, second kingdom. Let's see the difference. Kingdom of heaven, literal, physical, visible kingdom. Christ reigning on a throne that everybody can see. Kingdom of God, Luke chapter 17. Verse 20. And when he was demanded of the Pharisees, when the kingdom of God should come, remember, thy kingdom come. He answered and said unto them, the kingdom of God cometh not with observation. Well, that's a kingdom. That thing in the Old Testament, and that thing in the thousand-year reign, and that thing in the book of Revelation, that came with observation. I should say it's coming with observation. Cometh not with observation. Neither shall they say, lo here, or lo there, for behold, the kingdom of God is within you. Now you know they're two different kingdoms, because he said, pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven, the rule of heaven on earth. And over here he said, oh, you're not going to see that kingdom. That's inside you. It doesn't come with observation. Romans 14. Verse 17. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink. You can't put your hands on it. Watch the spiritual kingdom. But righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. It's a kingdom that's not seen with the physical eyes. It's seen spiritually, though. Except a man be born of the Spirit, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God that you can't see with physical eyes, but only with spiritual. But they mesh, they seem to just go so parallel, because he said, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Well, how could he say that? Because the king of the kingdom of heaven and the king of the kingdom of God is walking up the street. And we're going to have to establish the kingdom of God before we ever get to the kingdom of heaven. Let's make him king of the Jews. Let's bring in the kingdom. Not yet. We have to establish there's another kingdom to conquer, if you will. Colossians chapter 1. Verse 11, strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers in the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, that's a past tense, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. How? In whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Look at verse 18. And he is the head of the body, the church. Everybody missed that spiritual kingdom back there. The Pharisees missed it. The Jews missed it. The apostles missed it. I mean, it's all said and done. You're going to restore the kingdom? He's looking at the resurrected Christ. They missed that the king of the kingdom of God had to go to the cross to set him up to be the king of the kingdom of heaven one day. John 18. John 18. Then Pilate, 1833. Then Pilate entered into the judgment hall again and called Jesus and said unto him, Art thou the king of the Jews? And I love our Lord's response. Jesus had answered him, Sayest thou this thing of thyself, or did others tell it thee of thee? Are you coming up with that, or did you hear that somewhere? What a God. Pilate answered, Am I a Jew? Thine own nation and the chief priests have delivered thee unto me. What hast thou done? And watch this now. Jesus answered, My kingdom is not of this world. Wait a minute. Just said I was translated into the kingdom of his dear son. There's a group over there in Rome running around that has a replacement for Christ on earth that says we're building his kingdom. It's a pretty bad build. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight, that I should not be delivered unto the Jews. But, and this is the most important word in the passage because it's not in a lot of the new Bibles. Say it with me, the next word after but. Is my kingdom not from hence? And if you have a Bible that doesn't say now, it's lying to you. Because one day his kingdom is going to be hence. My kingdom is not from here is way different than not my kingdom is not from here now. And that's the difference between truth and error in one little word. That good man is on a journey going to get that kingdom. And he's going to bring it back one day. And it's going to be everything and more that we've ever read about and what we're really, really wanting. Just not now. I got another kingdom. Upon this rock, I'll build my church. And theologians, ask the guy that's praying in that back room. You know, we have a men praying for me every time I preach for the last 30 years. Get in on that list if you're not. And I don't know how the kingdom of God and the church, I know they're both spiritual. Anyways, I know this. You can't see it. He's building that one while he's going to get the other one. Kingdom of heaven, Christ ruling in a literal, physical, visible kingdom on earth wherein dwells righteousness. Kingdom of God, Christ ruling in a spiritual realm, an unseen kingdom within the hearts of believers that does not meet and drink. It does not come by observation. I wonder, does he rule in your heart? They said, let's make him ruler of our physical kingdom. Let's make him king of our physical kingdom. Not yet. There's another kingdom has to come first. Frank Sinatra sang, love and marriage, go together like a horse and carriage. You could tell he sang it a long time ago. This I tell you, brother, you can't have one without the other. It's kind of funny from a guy that was married four times, but Kingdom of heaven, kingdom of God. We want the kingdom of heaven. You can't have it without the kingdom of God. We want the kingdom of heaven observed. You can't have it without the kingdom of God unobserved. We want the kingdom of heaven to come. Not until he rules in your heart. Are you going to be part of that? You know, this world has no problem with the Sermon on the Mount. Because at a casual glance, you can have a kingdom, a beautiful, righteous, forgiving, peacemaking, do unto others kingdom without Jesus Christ. The poor in spirit and meekness. Can I say this? You'll be none of those things without Jesus Christ.
That's right. That's good, preacher.
I can't be meek and forgiving with Jesus Christ. But they like that one. Don't tell me about no Jesus. Do unto others. We're living in an insane asylum. A thing, and I'm just going, I'll be respectful to me. A them shot a cop in Atlanta last night. Shot a cop in the stomach in Atlanta last night. And they shot him back and killed him. And they're burning down Atlanta right now. But there's a kingdom coming. Kingdom of heaven, literal, physical kingdom that we can see comes with observation. Righteousness, Christ on the throne. Kingdom of God within you. Lastly, the kingdoms of this world. Notice plural, not the kingdom of this world, the kingdoms of this world. You say, what's that? That's the mess you see around you now. And that's run by Satan and his minions. Remember when Jesus said, my kingdom, singular, is not of this world. 2 Cor 4:4, Matthew 4, 2 Cor 4:4. That's how you're going to memorize all my Bible students. Memorize 2 Cor 4:4. I stole the phrase from Bob Bredo, so I don't want to take all the credit. 2 Cor 4:4. And then Matthew 4. Then we'll give our application. 2 Cor 4:4. In whom the God, see it, of this world. Wait a minute, I thought Jesus was reigning. We sing them Christmas songs. We're not even supposed to have any weeds no more. You know what mistake those guys writing them Christmas songs? They're trying to put the second kingdom back into first. The God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. That's the kingdoms of this world. Run by the God of this world, Matthew chapter 4. Verse 8. Again, the devil taketh him, Jesus, up into an exceeding high mountain and showeth him all the, there's your phrase, kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. And saith unto him, all these things will I give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship thee. And you know what Jesus didn't say? They're not yours to give. They are his to give. Then saith Jesus unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shall thou serve. What's the kingdoms of this world? The mess we see around us now. And the reason that so many of us are so troubled and so grieved and so sickened and so discouraged that we lose sleep over what we see around us. We know it's coming, but it's hard to handle. Is that the kingdoms of this world are satanic. In the Bible, it's pretty clear that before Christ comes, it's going to get dark. There's a major doctrine that floats out there. We're bringing in the kingdom. We're going to leaven the world with the gospel. And it's just going to get so wonderful and beautiful. And there's going to be so many Christians that Christ is just going to come in a kingdom prepared. And after about 2 years in World War II, anyone with a sense of a brass monkey threw that right out the window. Before that kingdom of heaven is brought back by the king, there's going to be a falling away. The love of many will wax cold. And I'm not dividing my lines too far. If what we're not going to be part of as the bride of Christ happens tomorrow, it's not just going to turn on tomorrow. You're going to see road signs. Man, we were kids going up to Midland, Ontario, every 5 minutes. We there yet? We there yet? We there? Man, we see those signs. Penetang, Washeen, Midland, 40 mile. Whoa! How do you know? I'm seeing some things going on. He says, he that killeth you will think that he does God's service. A man's foes will be those of his own household. Man, when I first got saved, I read that as saved in the household and lost in the household. It's going to be a little bit more than that. In your own house. Not I came out of that and I'm in this. I grew up in this. My dad's one of those. My preacher's one of those. My mother's one of those. My brother's. And you know what we're doing? We're going to come down on you. Don't doubt it. And we're coming down on your grandchildren, and it's going to be, just mark my words, call me I'm sensational, I don't care. What you believe is going to be illegal. Otherwise, how do you explain that verse? You young families better get off that Netflix and get on your knees. Because your children are going to be faced with this. I'm telling you, they're going to say, you cannot teach that to your children. That this is wrong, and that's ungodly. I'm telling you. Ephesians 6. That's what's going to happen. We know that, but man, it's hard to handle. If I don't know if it's hard for you, it's hard for me. Seen it in the Bible for 30 years, and now I'm seeing it in front of my face, and it's troubling, man, troubling. We'll talk about the kingdoms of this world. Now watch. Finally, verse 10, Ephesians 6, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities. You know what principalities are? That's an unseen force that has jurisdiction over a municipality. You read that back in Daniel. The principality over the kingdom of Persia withstood me 1 and 20 days. But I whipped them because I was fasting on my knees for the same amount of time. Powers, rulers of the darkness of this world, spiritual wickedness in high places. Listen, you want sci-fi? You want the video games with the killing and all that? Get in your Bible. Listen, if we pulled back the curtain based on that verse of what is in this room, I'll guarantee you the prayer meeting would be packed next Saturday night with desperate, fervent players. I'm sorry. I mean prayers. Man, if we were as fervent as we in our prayer as we are in our play. Wrestling in an unseen kingdom with an unseen king over the children of pride and his minions and his principalities. But it's easier. Listen, it's easier to sit around and just complain about the kingdoms of this world. Getting so bad. You know why? And I'm as guilty as you. Complaining is easier than wrestling. You know what the book of Revelation is? Pretty simple. It's not an allegory. It's not, you know, the dragon, that's an F-15 fighter, and the beast, that's an M-1 tank. All it is much of what's going on now with the curtain pulled back.
I didn't get that. Could you try again?
See what I'm saying? Did I say S-I-R-I?
I'm not sure I understand.
They're listening. If there's any geeks that can turn that thing off, listen, they're listening to every word you say. Because otherwise, how would they know you said H-E-Y-S-I-R-I? Right? Why do you think you're talking about Eric with a snowblower and the next day there's a snowblower ad on her? At least mine's a guy. That give me the creeps. It's much of what's going on now with the curtain pulled back. It's the war between the principalities and powers found in the book of Daniel, warring with the principalities and powers of righteousness, and what we do down here impacts the result of the battle up there. It's no wonder it's getting bad. Because we got to put a rock and roll band together to get people in church, but the prayer meeting, crickets.
Help us, Lord. Yep.
This world is going to see that battle, and men's hearts are going to fail them for fear. And it's probably the wrong attitude, Timmy, but I've been wanting it worse than ever. They're going to see something that has never been nor ever will be. In the meantime, don't lose too much sleep over the kingdoms of this world. You say, why not? Revelation chapter 11. Jesus is the king of the kingdom of heaven. Jesus is the king of the kingdom of God. But the God of this world, and he's the king over the children, the pride, he's presently in control of this. Revelation chapter 11, verse 15. And the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms, there's your plural, of this world are become the kingdoms, plural, of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. He's going to rule all three in a theocracy. One person ruling? What about the representation of the people? You mean the majority of the people that want feminine products in a boy's bathroom? Is that what you mean by the people? That government is for a moral people. And I'll just throw this in. The best way to get somebody moral is to get them to Jesus Christ. A perfect, sinless, holy, righteous Son of God ruling with a rod of iron. Take your Bibles, turn to Isaiah chapter 11. Finishing up. Oh, man, this is early. Whew. You know what I hope? I hope the conservatives get in. And that'd be nice. Although I remember a couple years ago, I think they were in. But really, I hope they get in. But you know what I hope more than that? I hope Jesus gets in. I can't wait till Jesus gets in. You know, if the conservatives get in, we might be able to carry our firearms in a place of worship again to defend our family. Wouldn't that be great? If the conservatives get in, maybe they won't come for us for teaching the things we teach. But when Jesus gets in, Isaiah chapter 11. There shall come, we're talking about that other kingdom, a rod out of the stem of Jesse, a branch will grow out of his roots, and the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom 1, and understanding 2, and counsel 3, and might 4, and knowledge 5, and the fear of the Lord 6. And shall make him of a quick understanding in the fear of the Lord, and he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither prove after the hearing of his ears, but with righteousness shall he judge the poor and reprove the equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked, and righteousness shall be the girdle of his loins, and faithfulness the girdle of his reins. The wolf. We got this little trailer down in Florida. It's paradise. It's just a little 1985 32-foot travel trailer. But it's, you've been there, just a little bit of paradise, especially this time of year. I mean, they spray for bugs, and there are no mosquitoes, and everybody's just palm trees in this time of year. My wife is down there again, and a coyote, and listen, the places are this far apart. From here, this is my yard, about that big. And a coyote ran between the trailers. This is a fenced-in, guarded, 24-hour community. I said, there's trouble in paradise, baby. I'm going there in a few weeks, and I can't wait. But I'm going there whenever God says, and I can't wait for that. Look, look, look. You little boys, you like petting coyote? You know that bear he talked about? That bear's not going to do that when that kingdom comes. Watch. Unless you're on the wrong side, he's going to do it. You saw what he's doing in the previous verse. Let's go. And the wolf also shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid, and the calf, and the young lion, and the fatling together, and the little child shall lead them. And the cow and the bear shall feed. Their young ones shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like an ox. And the sucking child shall play on the hole of an asp. And the weaned child shall put his hand on the cockatrice's den. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain. For the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord, and the waters cover the seas. And in that day there shall be a root of Jesse, you know who that is, which shall stand for an ensign of the people. To it shall the Gentiles seek, and his rest shall be glorious. Now here's the message. Don't make the mistake that they made in John 6 and get the kingdoms messed up, because it's going to mess you up. And listen, hear me now. If you hear anything, wake back up. Do your part in the kingdoms of this world. Let your voice be heard. If you happen to live in one of those plural kingdoms that they allow it to be heard. It doesn't work real good in North Korea. But with that said, if you only have so much voice, wrestle. If you only have so much time to battle, go to battle on behalf of him. and wrestle with principalities and powers and rulers of the darkness and spiritual wickedness in high places that we can't see. Do your part in what you can't see, but wrestle with what you can't see, and you might be surprised if we would pour ourselves into that, what might happen to the kingdom of this world that you can see. You know what the context of living peaceably with all men is? Pray for all those in authority. But it's easier to complain. And I'm guilt number one. I did a calculation this morning early, Eric. I went to our big local radio station website, of which there's probably 400 across the country that mirror that. And from 8 to 12... 8 a.m. to 12, and 12 to 3, and 3 to 5, and 6 to 9, and 9 to 12, and 10 to 1 a.m., six men and one woman spend all them hours complaining about the kingdoms of this world, mainly the one we're in. And of those listenership, between 5 and 15 million listeners each. Hear me. Don't misquote me. Don't charge the mound. I'm glad for them. I'm listening, and I don't listen like I used to. Once in a while, I'll just turn it on because misery loves company, and I'll say, okay, I'm still not alone. I'm thinking, 15 million listeners, where are they all? This guy thinks like me. That feels good. But what if 10% of those listeners started wrestling? From 8 to 12 and 12 to 3 and 3 to 5 and 6 to 9 and 9 to 12 and 10 to 1. Took the time to effectually, fervently complain to the King of the Kingdom of God about the kingdoms of this world, and to do something with the principalities and the powers and the rulers of the darkness, rulers, rulers, rulers that are ruling his minions. He's the king over who? The children of pride. Matthew 16, Hebrews 12. I said we were really early to make you think I was almost done, but I am. Matthew 16. I thought that one preacher came in the other night. He was good. I loved it. I thought he's almost done. He goes, now what time do I got to be done? I'm thinking, land the plane, man, land the plane. Oh, I got another 15 minutes. No. Matthew 16, like you're saying now. Don't kid me. Matthew 16, verse 18. And I say also unto thee, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. And I don't care what you see and what you hear. And if they're burning down the cities, the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Brethren, they burn the martyrs, they burn their Bibles, and now they're burning, and the church is still here. Those walls of communism fell down, and we thought we were going to go over there and bring them the glorious light of the gospel, and they were more holy than us. Yuri Kravitz said to me, forgive my cheap accent, what the devil could not do under communism in Ukraine, devil has done to our children in America through freedom. What a shame. It's time to wrestle. Hebrews 12, I'm trying to encourage you. It doesn't seem like it. Yeah. I'm trying to encourage you to do something hard. Listen, we're real, real close to have to. Let's not wait till we have to. Hebrews 12. Verse 26. Whose voice then shook the earth? But now he hath promised, saying, yet once more, oh, I shake not the earth only, but also the heaven. And this word yet once more signifieth the removing of those things that are shaken. As the things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. So you know what's happening to our world? The things that aren't going to remain are being shaken. And it's getting shaken, it's getting shaken. You know what happens when things get shaken? They fall off and they disappear and they break and they go away. Look at the next verse. Wherefore we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably and reverence with reverence and godly fear. Why? Because our God is a consuming fire. Here's the message. Let's fight like winners. We're winners. The gates of hell are not going to prevail. Well, what about the body? Fear not, which him which is able to destroy the body, but to destroy body and soul in hell. We are invincible until he said, he is our shield and our buckler. We're invincible. What's the worst can happen? We die and go to heaven. Let's get our kingdom's priorities right. Now, we might have to go through some stuff, but we're winners. Some of you all nervous about this game today because you're not sure if your team stinks or if they're good. I'll say our team. Now, if you're Stephen back there, he'd say your team. If you're Jonah, he'll say your team. I don't care what. Anyways, if the lights dim a little bit at Highmark Stadium or one of these guys gets knocked out, that's not going to bother me one bit. As long as we win. Well, we got to go through some stuff, and we're facing this. Yes, but we're going to win. What if the game was fixed today and you knew it? Now, you that don't follow that stuff, that guy that died on the field and they give him all that stuff, and the whole world is praying, all of a sudden, there's no separation of church and state. And then the next week when the one Christian coach says that he's going to the Walk for Life parade, but all of a sudden, everybody's praying. Now, either God fixed it, or somebody fixed something, because on the opening kickoff of that game, something that's almost unheard of, our guy ran 98 yards for a touchdown on the first play of the game. And the first unfaithful me, I thought, it's fixed. What if you knew the game was fixed? Would you be uptight today? What if you knew? What if you were watching a video of the game we played last week? Would you be sweating? They're losing. They're coming back. No, no. No, we're winners. My father used to play the horses, and every night the bookie would call, and he'd say, Pat, I got a hot tip. Young people, listen. You can't beat the horses. They got four legs. You only got two. But they'd get the ins, you know. This horse can't lose. And you know what they'd get? They'd get all in. Why? Because they knew they were going to win. Let me give you a hot tip. We're going to win. We're We're not going to turn to the passage because I think we've turned enough. But in Judges chapter 1, he says, who's going to go up and fight? Which one of the tribes you want to? He says, send Judah up. And before the battle started, he said, I went to public school, but I know that's past tense, delivered you. I have delivered them into your hands. And you know what that made them do? It didn't make them sit back on their... They went up and they fought. You know what we... Why you got to read the Bible? More than those seven individuals? Because you got to read, we're winning. Now, we may be losing some battles, but we're going to win the war. Let's live like winners. That's the title of today's sermon. Live like winners. Witness like a winner. Give like a winner. Come Saturday night, pray like a winner. Or just complain. It's way easier. Almost more satisfying. Because you heard me, I could talk to someone I could see and he's agreeing with me and he's saying, how about this and how about that and how about this, how about that? And we go away accomplishing nothing for what we want in the kingdoms of this world. I said it Wednesday night, if your marriage is good and your family's good and your school's good and your government's good, your president's good, your country's good, your governor's good, and you're good with what you see going on in the kingdoms of this world, stay at home Saturday night. But if not, if all you do is come and sit in solitude and cry out to God in silence from your heart, let's pray like winners. It's hard sometimes to live for God. I got 9 children and I think going on 22 grandchildren. I lost count. But if you ain't quite living there for, can't see the God thing, look at those little kids that you can see. You young parents, they got to grow up in this world. You say, what's the best thing I could do? Go to battle for their souls, for their nation, for this kingdom, this temporary kingdom. And if there's one thing I could say, and convey to them that we are winners. Timmy said, don't badmouth the preacher. And I didn't have this plan. 2 minutes. Kids want to live. At my age, old, my eyes are sore, 3 operations, this and that. I've usually been, Taylor, a half full guy. I'm getting to be half empty. Listen, those kids don't want to hear. They don't want to hear your conspiracy theory. Even if it's true, you know why? It's negative. It's defeatism. Everybody wants to kill us. Really? I wanted to go to this playground and get on the seesaw. It looks so fun. Let's live like winners. It's dark out there. But thank God we got light in our dwellings. And one day the king that put us in the kingdom, he translated us into that kingdom, is going to bring a kingdom with him. And if we're saved, we're going to live with glorified bodies and rule and reign with him for 1,000 years. Can we stand and sing Victory in Jesus? Jason's going to come and Amy's going to come and play. Like winners. For once in your life and once in my life, think about every single word that you're saying. Pastor Folk was a fanatic about driving him insane, and now I'm up here during the singing, it's about driving me insane. Oh, stop singing! I think it's vanity. Let's think about victory in. Let's sing like winners. And I hope your team wins today. I don't hope your team wins next week, but if they don't, we're still